I love thinking about heaven. I'll tell you the truth, folks. We're going to get over a lot of stuff in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I mean, we're going to be cured and not have to worry about ever being sick again. Thank God for it. Is anybody worried about getting a bad phone call? You know what? There ain't even going to be a possibility of it. Amen. How many get worried when your children stay out just a little bit too long, you know, or try? Everybody does that. They ain't going to have to worry about that no more. I just wonder how happy we'd be if every little thing that's in the back of our mind nagging us was gone. I mean, sometimes you don't even know you're worrying about it, you know? Sometimes you can't even figure out why you're in a bad mood or whatever. But you know, one of these days you're going to be cured from everything. Amen. Cured from the possibility. I mean, listen, you can't fall in the river of life and drown. You can't eat too much of the fruit of the tree of life and get heart trouble or something like that. I mean, listen, folks, we're going to have a good time. And just thinking about it makes me happy. I don't know about you. Woo, glory to God. Well, I have enjoyed this day. God has blessed us, enjoyed the youth service. And the preaching this morning was tremendous. Brother Mark Compton and Brother Dwayne Gallagher. I don't know about y'all, after Brother Dwayne Gallagher got done preaching, I just had tears, and even through the day, I was just thinking, you know, God let me in on His plan. He let me choose. He in His sovereignty gave me the ability to choose. Isn't that amazing? And let me be in on His plan. I can't thank Him enough for that. Well, I appreciate y'all. Appreciate Brother Ryan, all you preachers. God bless you. There's some people here that's been hearing me preach for a long time. I look around, there's some of y'all I've known since I was a teenager. And really, the Brims, the Gallaghers, and them I've known for longer than that, I suppose. But at any rate, some of y'all I don't know that well, but I'll tell you, I feel the Spirit of God here. Feel like the Lord's going to talk to people and is talking to people right now. I want you to pay attention to what God has to say. Oh, I'm thankful we serve a good God, aren't you? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to just say, and you can be seated here for just a moment. I appreciate everything. For some of y'all that's going to ask me, I'll just tell you, I got four boys. I got only one with me. Sitting right back there, and he's my baby here, 16 years old with us. My other three boys got married in the last year and a half, and one's pastoring down on the border in the South Texas, and another's pastoring in Arkansas at Ashdown, not far from me, and a third one's just got married a couple weeks ago and living next to me, and I'm excited about that. Amen. Thankful for that. But we appreciate everything the Lord has blessed us with. I want to read from Isaiah chapter 50, if you'd like to read there with me, Isaiah chapter 50. And I believe God has something for you here tonight. If I could just completely disappear and you could hear the voice of God, I believe that there's some people really needing something from the Lord in a special way. Isaiah 50 and verse 10, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. Isaiah 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? That's us, isn't it? That obeyeth the voice of His servant, Now, a lot of Isaiah's writings right in here about the servant is talking about Jesus. All right? Who is us? Who is among us that fears the Lord and obeys Jesus? Would you raise your hand? Amen. All right, now this next part's going to surprise you. All right? That walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And I want to preach tonight on when you can't see God. That walketh in darkness. Now you're talking about people that fear God and obey the voice of his servant, and yet they're walking in darkness. Amen. Would you stretch your hand this way and ask God to help me here tonight? Father, my heart's desire is to help this congregation. And Lord, I know you can speak through anyone you choose to use. Would you please use me? I'm asking that you'd open up my heart and anoint me with words that probably I could not think or meditate about that would speak directly to the people's hearts. Maybe even questions that they've had, I pray you to answer them this very night. And I pray for a tremendous altar service. And I ask for your anointing on me as well as this congregation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. You can be seated. These people, again, feared God and obeyed God, but yet they were walking in the dark. They were obeying in the dark. God had given Isaiah some of the greatest prophecies about the Messiah, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what his mission was and how he would accomplish it. In all of the Old Testament, Isaiah is one of the most magnificent writers about Jesus before he was born. In fact, some people have called this the fifth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Isaiah. But it's all before Christ was born. And here in this chapter, there's many things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5, it says, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." I want you to listen to this. Who's this talking about? "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." Sound like somebody really, really, really going through it. You know who it is. We're talking about Jesus and the suffering that he went through. "For the Lord God will help me." Now he declares this. "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up." This talks somewhat about the sufferings of Christ when he was beaten with rods, fists, whips, and as that he suffered going to the cross, taking our punishment. But it also has the glorious confidence of Jesus. For Christ says that God will justify me. God will vindicate me. Now you're going to have to understand something, folks. The world's court had pronounced him guilty of blasphemy. He claimed to be the Son of God, and they said he blasphemed. But you know, they really didn't put him on trial. They condemned him for saying that. But I want to ask you, if they would have put him on trial and said, "What's the evidence that he's not the Son of God?" Could anybody have produced anything? What's the evidence that he is the Son of God? Well, he's never sinned. Amen. He's healed the sick, cast out devils, forgave sins, raised people from the dead. Amen. Was born of a virgin. Sound to me like he was the Son of God. All the evidence was in his favor. But they still condemned him. But I want to tell you, even though they had their time where they could smite him and whip him, there was a God that was going to publicly say that he is justified in saying he is the Son of God. He was going to declare it by raising him from the dead on the third day. Can you say amen here? Amen. So here he was. He said all of this, and how wonderful it is to know that Jesus, even when his face was being smitten and his back was being plowed, amen, even when he was going through that suffering, he still had confidence that his Father would vindicate him eventually. And we all know that he did. The servant addresses those in verse 10, amen, who believe in him and fear God. And some people would think that you that fear God and obey him, you're never going to have any problems. You're never going to have any situations come up where you can't explain it and you don't understand it. Amen. You're always going to have prosperity and health, and nothing bad is ever going to come to you. But all of a sudden, ye that fear the Lord and obey the voice of the servant is addressed. And he says, you're walking in darkness. Amen. Can I tell you right now, I do not believe that this was a darkness of sin because they was obedient. It was not a darkness of irreverence because they had a great fear of God. It was a darkness, amen, that somehow as they lived, they had no blessing. They could not view the glory of God. Something had hidden it from their view. It was a darkness that a Christian gets into when we can't see God like we have in times past. Amen. Now, there's probably some reasons why some folks go through trials. I mean, listen, this you got to understand, these people feared God and obeyed. Y'all got that? Amen. They feared God and obeyed. But there are some times when we go through a trial and it's our own fault. David prayed, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I've had it one time before, but I don't have it now. Who was to blame? David had to take full responsibility for the place and the darkness that he was in because he had done a dark, evil deed. And let me just tell you something. If you are going through a problem because of your own sin, don't blame it on anybody else. Say, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this wickedness in thy sight. And ask God's forgiveness and he can restore your joy. Amen. There's another man, a hero of mine named Elijah. Amen, that done great things but ran from Jezebel and probably was out of the will of God as that he ran from her under the pressures that she had placed him in. Now you just have to admit, amen, he doesn't even hardly seem human a lot of times. Amen, if the problem with Jezebel and the fact that James said Elijah was a man, you'd almost thought he was an angel or something. I mean, you talk about superhuman. You talk about an amazing man calling fire from heaven, facing those 400 prophets and making fun of them while they prayed. And the children of Israel, amen, were sitting there and he said, if the Lord be God, let's serve him. If Baal is God, let's serve him. And you know what? It's like a lot of church services. They answered him not a word. Amen. Amen. But at any rate, Jezebel threatened him. And he took off running. Well, you'll have to admit, he was wore out. He was emotionally strained. He may have got a little proud. When he was praying to the Lord, he said, I am no better than my fathers. Who told him he was any better than his fathers anyway? Sometimes if you get a little proud after a little revival, it can swing back the other way, my brother, sister. Hey, man, I don't know what all he was going through, but I just want you to know he had some blind spots. Now, listen. I'm not faulting Elijah nor putting him down in the sense that I say I'm any better than him, but he and David both caused some of their dark spots. Amen. He and David both got themselves, one was a horrible sin. Amen. One may have been a little bit of an attitude problem or a panic attack or something along that line. I'm not here to preach completely about that, except I want to mention that sometimes people go through spells where they don't see God's glory and they don't feel God's joy, and it's their fault, and they might as well own up to it. Amen. Because you'll never get out of that spot unless you ask God's forgiveness. Amen. One more thing. Sometimes if you get to taking responsibility for things that's God's responsibility, amen, you're going to have problems seeing his glory. Let me tell you, I'm not responsible about tomorrow. Amen. And so I just better leave that in God's hands. And there's a whole lot of things I could mention. But there, you're going to have to admit, there's some things that's just way out of our control. Amen. Some have tried to make a rule that only those in sin are going to have trouble and sickness and death and, amen, and financial issues and so on. But that's a foolish statement. These people right here feared God and obeyed the voice of the servant. I just want you to know there's some things I cannot control. I cannot control the news of the day. I cannot control the health of our bodies. We cannot control the pressure of having to make difficult decisions we wish we did not have to make. We cannot control an attack of the enemy. And sometimes a drunk driver will get right in your life, amen, and make things miserable. I want you to know we can't control the variations of our emotions a lot of times. Amen. I got an older man in my church that died many years ago, and his name was Willie Bond. He's legendary for the way he prayed. Amen. Some of y'all probably knew him. I know Brother Pittman did. Amen. But he was a praying man for over 60 years. The shortest prayer he would pray in a day is 3 hours. That's the least he would pray. Amen. But Brother Willie would say a lot of wise things. And one of the things I've hung on quite a bit, he said, I do not know why, amen, I feel the way I feel some of the days. I feel the way I feel. I can wake up, amen, and have fear and don't know why I have fear. I can wake up and feel good and don't know why I feel good. Amen. And he said, why in the world should I trust my ever-changing emotions? I believe I'd rather trust my never-changing God. Hallelujah. And so I want to tell you right now, emotions may rise and fall like the waves of the sea, but God is still the same. You cannot trust your emotions. Yet sometime you just got to say, hey, listen, amen, we're not going to go that way today. Amen, we're going to go God's way. I'm going to believe something different. The fact remains that there are people that fear God and obey him and still walk in the dark at times. Amen. Still have battles at times. Now listen, fearing God, amen, takes in our whole attitude about Almighty God. It describes the way we worship him, the way we stand in awe of him, the way we conduct our lives in
front of Him. We're not just going through the day as if God did not exist. We live under His watchful eye and care when we fear God. Amen. Obedience is a display of genuine faith. Let me tell you something, friend. I know there's some people nowadays that can say, you can have faith without obedience, but it's not in God's Word. God's Word declares that obedience and faith are forever married, and what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. These are good qualities, you'll have to admit. Amen, but it didn't free them from walking in the dark. In fact, I want to ask you, was there anybody better than Jesus? Was there anybody that revered the Father better than Jesus? Was there anybody more obedient than Jesus? Amen. And yet I want to tell you, the light of the world, amen, hung in darkness on an old rugged cross. Amen. Yes. Amen. He was obedient. He had faith. And He still left bloody footprints up that way of suffering in Jerusalem, carrying the cross, because His back had been plowed. His face had been beaten and bruised. Oh, amen. Somebody said, Brother Lloyd, I don't know if God loves me. I'm walking in the dark. I want to ask you, I got a few questions. Amen. I want you to answer me. I want you to think with me. Did God only love Jesus, amen, when He was feeding the 5,000? Or did He love Him, amen, when they was whipping His back? Did God love Him both times? Yeah. Did God only love Him when the crowd was saying Hosanna? Or did God love Him when the crowd was saying crucify Him? Well, I asked you, amen, I think you all are answering me. Amen. When did God stop loving Him? Did God only love Jesus when He was walking in the brightest of day doing miracles? Amen. Having the crowd come after Him? Or did God love Jesus when He was in the dark? Amen. When He's in the Garden of Gethsemane weeping and crying? Amen. When He was hanging on a cross? Amen. My friends, I want you to know God loved His obedient Son. God loved His respectful Son, whether it was in the light or in the dark. He loved Him both times. And if you're here tonight and you're obedient and fearing His name, and yet you're walking in a time of darkness, I want you to know God still loves you. Woo! You may not be able to see Him. He still loves you. There are times you may not be able to see God. And what do? You got to continue to trust in God and keep leaning upon Him even when you can't see Him. Amen. Did you notice there in verse 10 it says, amen, who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust. That's what you're supposed to do. Walking in the dark, Brother Lord, what I do? I gotta trust Him. Amen. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Now that word in the Hebrew, stay, means to lean. Ain't that amazing to me? To lean with all of your leaning, every bit of you, to place it on Him. It's like you're in the dark. Close your eyes, brother. And here I am close to you. You can't go up and down these steps right here. I want you to put your hands around me. Put your, amen, and lean on me and follow me right now. Amen, you're in the dark. I went down a step. Amen, I'm in the dark. Amen, come on. Amen. In the dark. In the dark. Amen, but if you lean on the Lord, amen, He can show you the way through the dark. If you can put everything on Him, if you can trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon Him, He must not be far away, even if you can't see Him. Even if you can't see Him, you might be able to feel Him if you reached out for Him. Amen. If you started feeling for Him and quit talking about the dark and reach out and felt after Him, you might find that He's nearer to you than you ever thought He was. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Oh, give the Lord a praise right now. I feel like He's close right here tonight. You say, I don't see His glory like I want to see it. I don't care. Hey, man, I tell you, He's near enough for you to grab a hold of Him. Woo! Got to trust, even when we can't see Him. We're instructed to lean upon Him. Hey, man, oh, I tell you, there's a lot of great things in the Bible. And sometimes the devil will say, all that you're in is darkness. Amen. Brother Dwayne, you got your Bible? Oh, I feel God. Would you turn to Exodus 20 and 21 for me just a moment? Oh, I feel the Spirit of God trying to help somebody. I hope I can preach this to you. Amen. What does it say there about Moses? And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness. So it was black. It was dark and it was thick. It was the thick darkness where God was. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, God's not afraid of the dark. Hey, man, He's not afraid of the dark. Don't let the devil tell you just cause it's dark that God left you. Hey, man, He's not afraid. He don't run. Hey, man, He's not afraid. He don't... Woo, glory be to Jesus. Hey, God's right there in the midst of the darkness. Brother Dwayne, would you, God help you, brother. Psalm 139 and verse 11, if you would. Now, I went through a time one time, and I'll just be honest. It was like a spiritual darkness came down on me. And I mean, when I woke up in the morning, it was there. I mean, I pray. I've made a commitment to pray every day. I pray, always pray, read my Bible. You know, I try to study a message. I couldn't even hardly think to study a message. I love studying the Bible. I really do. I like it. That's my pleasure. But it's like I couldn't get my thoughts together. I go to church. I didn't have a message. I'd get up to preach. A lot of times the Lord would speak to me a scripture right before I preached. And my church didn't have a clue what a miracle was going on while I was preaching. Because I didn't listen, I study all the time to a certain extent, but I was up there preaching without studying the message. It was, I don't know if it was prophesying or what it was, but it was sure not a studied out thing. You understand what I'm saying? I preached messages. I'd feel God while I was preaching. I'd think, it's gone. Praise God, it's gone. And I'd go back over to the parsonage. It'd come right back all over me. Thick darkness. Seemed like. And I just want to tell you, if you're obeying God and it's still dark, I want you to read verse 11 right there. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night, even the night shall be light about me. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that. I know most people read that and tremble, but I read that and rejoice. If you're walking through a dark place and you say, I don't know if God even cares or sees me or knows what's going on, let me tell you something. If you're obeying God in the dark, He sees what you're doing. He sees how you're living. Hey, amen. I know if you're sinning in the dark, He sees that too. But listen, if you're a child of God and you're kind of stumbling around, Lord, I'm still praying. I'm still reading the Bible. I'm still going to church. I'm still living right. Here I am, Lord. Amen. I want you to know you're not hid from God. He still sees you when you're walking through dark places and you're still obedient. Glory. Glory. I'm just going to tell you, you got to keep on walking sometime. Keep on obeying. Fear God. And one Sunday morning, I went up to the pulpit and preached my message, and God came down on me. And I went over to the parsonage, and I sat in my chair waiting, you know, for dinner to get ready. Amen. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. It's gone. Hallelujah. I just sat there and started crying. My wife looked in and said, what's wrong, honey? I said, it's gone. It's gone. And it was. All I can say is, if you're in a time of darkness, that I'm not here to explain it to you. I'm not here to tell you why you're going through it. I don't have a clue why you're going through it. I am telling you this. If you stay obedient, God sees it, and you lean in on Him, amen, He's going to see you out the other side. There's a better day coming. You'll feel Him again. There'll be God's glory again. Amen. Proverbs 15 and 3 says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil. And sometimes we just stop there. But He beholds the good too. Hallelujah. He sees what you're doing in the dark, friend. He sees how you're praying in the dark. He sees how you're reading the Bible in the dark. How you're refusing temptation even when it's dark. He sees it. And listen, I have to say to you, I believe we may show our greatest love to Him when we're obedient in the dark. Brother Dwayne, get Mark 6 and 48 sometime here, but I got news for you. We all want miracles. We pray for miracles. You know what that means? What's that mean? They got a reason for a miracle. Yeah. I was reading a book, a pretty good book, The Strength You Need. He told this story, and I can't remember the guy's name. But he's some fellow that teaches how to write novels and books and stories and stuff. Some famous writer, not famous enough for me to remember, but anyway, I guess he's well known of some people. And he was teaching fourth grade, and he has this principle about storytelling. He calls the ceiling fan principle. He said, after a break, he said, the class came back, and he said, I was tired of all that stuff of saying, what did you do on vacation? And us hearing the same old boring stuff all the time. And he said, so I said, I don't want to hear none of this, what I did that was fun on vacation. I want to hear about something that happened over the break that was a bad thing, something bad. And so a little boy raised his hand. He got up and he said, well, over break, my cousin came over, and we was in my bedroom, and we had bunk beds, and we was jumping off the top bunk trying to see who could jump the furthest. And he said, my cousin jumped way out there. I got up against the wall, and I ran, and I jumped. And he said, but the ceiling fan in my room was on. And it caught me just right and threw me way out there. Amen. He said, I'll tell you what, I went further than my cousin. And this man said, you don't have a story unless you have a problem. Amen. And so I just want to tell you something. You want a miracle? Guess what you're going to have in order to have a miracle? You're going to have a problem, my friend. And you say, I got plenty of them here tonight. Well, get ready for a miracle. Hallelujah. You've been praying for a miracle. Praise God for it's a coming, my friend. Amen. You say, well, it seems pretty dark right now. Brother Dwayne, read that verse 48. You know the story. Jesus Christ sent them over the sea. Amen. And he sent them in the will of God right into a storm, right into the darkness. But what did it say there? Jesus saw them toiling and rowing.
For the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking.
He saw them and he came to them. Hallelujah. 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 They just thought they was all by themselves. Amen. They couldn't see Jesus. Amen. They was in the dark. They said, here I am in the dark. Jesus sent me to this dark place. Jesus sent me right here to this storm. Amen. But I'll tell you what, just because you can't see him doesn't mean he can't see you. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Amen. They told me that those Indians used to, you know, let their boys go out all by themselves. Amen. When they was getting to the place they wanted to become men, they let them take care of themselves in the woods. Amen. And they thought they was by themselves. Little did they know all the dads was camped out. Amen. Around the corner hiding. Amen. That owl they heard, that was dad over there watching Justin. In case something got too big for them. That's exactly what happened to the disciples. They thought they was all by themselves, but Jesus was watching, and when he saw it was too big for them to handle, he came a-walking to them in the dark place. Hallelujah! Oh, amen. You say it's dark. I don't know. He sees you. Yes, he sees you. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Amen. Our faith may be blurred by circumstances. Our view may be blocked by bad news. The enemy may come to us with such an army. All we see is the cloud of dust kicked up from their approach. And I want to tell you, Jesus sees us. I love this scripture. I don't know if y'all ever read it. I love this. John 9:1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind. I love that. Ooh, blind from birth, he saw him. Oh, I wish I could preach right there. Amen. Say, Brother Lloyd, I've come to this church service. Seem like I'm blind. I'm just feeling around. Well, feel a little further. You'll find him. He's here. You can lean on him. You can see him. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you may not be able to see him. You can feel him is what I meant to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I don't know. I preached this message twice, I think, three times. I asked my wife if she remembered it. As a bad sign, she didn't remember it. Sister Elizabeth, do you remember this message? No, she don't remember it either. And so anyway, you never know. I just felt like preaching it. A story came to my mind last night while I was preaching. I told it to Brother Ryan and another fella. It wasn't quite accurate, so I called Brother Wade Kestner. You know Brother Wade? Y'all know Brother Wade at Buckeye Holler near Saltville, Virginia? Yeah.
I called Brother Wade. Back in 1985, my wife and I got married. We went to Richlands camp meeting and stayed afterward and had the privilege of Brother Grant Horton taking us around to different churches. Amen. And we went to Buckeye Holler back when Brother Robert Hayden was pastoring the church. Did y'all know Brother Robert Hayden? Brother Pittman, did you know him? He was an old timer from, I had privilege to meet Brother Hayden from Buckeye Holler. Oh, glory. Glory be to Jesus. Anyway, y'all forgive me. I'm almost getting too blessed to think about my message just a little bit. Seems like I feel the Lord reaching out to somebody. Oh, God. Brother Hayden was pastoring a church there, that church. And the Branhamites got his church and took away his members, all his musicians. He just had maybe one or two left. And Brother Hayden was so depressed about it. And he just was starting to feel like quitting. You talk about walking through the dark. He's still living holiness. He didn't go with that false doctrine. He continued on in the way of God. Amen. And one day while he was going out in the middle of nowhere on his way to the mill, he said there was a man standing there on the side of the road, kind of like he was hitchhiking. And he said, I kind of got the idea was, so I pulled over and picked him up. He said, we drove along, talked a little bit. And this man said, you're a minister, aren't you? Well, he wasn't dressed up in his preacher costume that day, you know. And he said, well, and he wasn't feeling too much like a preacher at all. He said, well, some people say I'm a preacher. And the man said, you know, I'd like to get out right here. He said, you want to get out here? There ain't no houses. There's no roads. There's nothing else. Yeah, I'd like to get out here. So he let him out. He drove on. He looked back in his mirror. And the man was gone. He went back and checked in the woods and down the hill. And he wasn't there. But he went on still in this cloud. Still in this darkness. He got to thinking about closing the church. He went on up to church one night. Parked his truck. Looked over at his wife. And said, Mama, I don't even hardly feel like going through the door. And he put his head down. He said, but I guess I'll give it one more try. He walked through the door of the church. Got in there, wasn't anybody there. He sat down, put his head down. And all of a sudden he felt the presence of God in a special way. He like he heard a voice in the distance. Robert? 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 He said he looked up and it was the man that he picked up on the side of the road. He said, Robert, don't you be discouraged. I'm going to send you help. And he put his head down and looked up again, and the man was gone. Brother Wade Kestner told me 2 weeks later, 80 young people got saved. And Brother Wade was one of them. Brother Wade's the pastor of the church now. Amen. Couple weeks. Amen. 80 young people got saved. He didn't have any musicians, and none of those that got saved could play. So Robert Hayden took them up there. Amen. Put oil on their hands and prayed for them that they'd be able to play pianos and guitars. And do you know what? Amen. God raised up a bunch of guitar players and piano players and musicians. Oh, I wish I could preach this. Amen.
amen. He said, amen, that the children and grandchildren, that happened in 1970. That happened in 1970. Amen. 47 years later, it's those children's children that's playing the guitars. Hallelujah. Amen. And the churches are going on. They had to build a bigger church just a couple of years ago. Amen. I want you to know sometimes you're walking in the dark, but that don't mean God isn't near. Amen. Sometimes you can't see Him, but that don't mean He can't see you. Amen. Feel after Him. Lean on Him. He's going to see you through this dark time. Glory be to Jesus. You're going to come out. I say you're going to come out of it. Amen. One of these days, amen, little by little, as you obey the Lord sees the evil and the good. He's going to bring you out. Amen. It may be in a church service. It may be in your home bedroom, but He's going to bring you out. Oh, glory to God, the cloud will lift. Woo. I'm fixing to send you help. Now listen, folks, I know, listen, amen, I really feel like the Lord's telling somebody, don't be discouraged. I'm going to send you help. That's the way I feel here tonight. Oh, God. Now you can receive it. Amen. And you can lean on Him and let Him guide you. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Would you stand right now? Oh, God. Oh. Glory be to Jesus. Would you raise your hands? I'd like for you to feel after Him just a little bit, church. You say, well, I'm not even going through a trial. If you get a hold of Him, it might help somebody else get a hold of Him. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh. Listen, if you're a sinner here tonight, it's a dark time for you and you need to get saved. You need to repent of your sins and believe upon Jesus Christ. You'll never get out of that darkness. You'll be in eternal darkness. And I want you to come more than anything. But evidently, from the songs of the Eye of the Storm and all the other things, God's a talking to somebody. And I want you to come on up here. Amen. Right now. You say, Brother Lloyd, I've been obeying the best I can. I honor God. I fear God. I'd like to lean on Him and feel Him close to me right here tonight. Would you come? You might actually get out of the darkness if you obey the Lord right now. Come on. Come on. Oh, yes. Church, would you just, you know, sometimes you get down and people have a hard time admitting it. But let's raise our hands and ask the Lord to help and encourage everybody. Lord Jesus, move upon folks right now. Make it easy right now. Oh, yeah, come on. You say, I stepped out last night. I don't care. Step out again. Obey God again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, give us direction. I look around. I see some people with tears in their eyes. Amen. And it seemed like you're wanting something more from the Lord. And so I'm asking you to come on to this altar and raise your hands and say, I receive the help that God's trying to give me right here tonight. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Come on right now. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. God loves you. He cares about you. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Oh, come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Huh. Would you thank the Lord for His presence that's here right now? Would you thank the Lord for His blessings that's here right now? Hallelujah. 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 I need some strength from God. I need a miracle from the Lord. I need a lifting up of my head right now. Come on right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to get out of this darkness. I want to lean heavy on you right now. Oh, yes, Lord. Come on. Hey, sinner friend, backslider, we hadn't gave up on you. You need to come as well. There's people here tonight that need to get a hold of God. Whether you can see Him or not, you need to get a hold of Him. You need to feel after Him. You need to praise Him. Come on, by faith, reach out there. By faith, believe the Lord right now.